this guy has perpetrated a lot of crimes that led to the death of our troops, police, other security agencies, and even the people that he alleged is protecting.
That's the bold declaration from the Nigeria's military following the sentencing of a separatist leader. One, authorities in the country have branded a terrorist.
But is there a real distinction between a terrorist and a separatist agitator? And where exactly does the line begin to blur?
If you kill human beings, what does that mean? Boko Haram kill people, the IPOB kill people. As far as we are concerned, they are all terrorist organizations.
That is why the Nigerian military says that it is pledging to use every resource at their disposal to crush these threats.
Yet, despite all these assurances, do Nigerians really feel safe?
People are scared. You can feel the tension, you can feel the threat, you can feel the... If you go to various police stations outside the town, people are being attacked. You cannot drive at night. Your eyes will be extremely open. If you are sleeping, your eyes are open. So the government needs to do more.
People say they are scared. Clearly, the government must step up to protect its people. But is this war on terror confronting the deeper roots of the pro-Biafra movement?
That is the story we want to uncover today.
And I am Mimi Mefo. This is Under the Baobab.
And of course, my name is George Okachi. Indeed, a very warm welcome to Under the Baobab. On this show, we break down complex issues and make them personal.
Talking about making the complex issues personal, we are here every Friday of the week to speak to policymakers. Mm-hmm. We also talk to politicians and leaders across Africa. So please subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can always be part of this conversation.
And of course, in being part of the conversation, today we are shedding the spotlight on Nigeria.
A court in Finland recently sentenced 40-year-old separatist leader Simon Ekpa to 6 years in prison.
Now, you should know that Ekpa was found guilty by a Finnish court for promoting the Biafra region's independence.
Right.
By illegal means, including supplying weapons and explosives to armed groups and inciting others to commit crimes.
Committing crimes, and people have no idea. Some people who are watching have no idea what exactly we are talking about. So just a little background into
contextualizing it.
Yeah. So in 1960s, Nigeria's southeast tried to break away as the Republic of Biafra, sparking a civil war that lasted for 3 years, and it left over 1 million people dead, George. That's just a lot of casualties there.
Yeah, and important to note is that despite the war ending in 1970, calls for independence have not gone away.
Right.
Today, groups like IPOB, Mimi, as you've mentioned, say they are fighting for self-determination. Mm-hmm. But the government is calling them terrorists.
And now back to present, because we are talking about the sentencing of Simon Ekpa. The latest verdict has been welcomed at the highest level of Nigeria's government. And we have the Brigadier General Tukur Gusau. He spoke to DW. He spoke to us under the Baobab.
Yeah.
He is Director of Defense Information. And he described it as a resounding victory for the Nigerian military.
Yeah, but Mimi, resounding victory for Nigeria's military.
Mm.
This is happening in Finland.
Right. Very far away from Nigeria. Right.
Mm. How do you contextualize that?
That's the question that I put to him. I just wanted to find out how much impact this can create when it comes to the Biafra War of Independence that has been waging for so many years in Nigeria.
If you recall, this guy has perpetrated a lot of crimes that led to the death of our troops, police, other security agencies, and even the people that he alleged is protecting. Initially, we wanted him to be extradited. We sent hard evidence that led to his conviction yesterday by the Finnish court.
So this is just one person that has been convicted out of Nigeria. Should you be calling that a victory? Because this is just an individual.
He is the leader of that organization, and he's the one in charge of their terrorist activities. And if he's not in charge, why did he even run out of the country? He ran away. So as far as we are concerned, the leadership has been convicted, and you know, he is in charge of IPOB.
But many Nigerians are asking whether the military is winning battles abroad but losing trust at home.
Yes, we won the battle abroad because we initiated his conviction. Lot of terrorist people associated with him were arrested. Some were even neutralized. You know, they were sent to their Mecca. And a lot of progress has been achieved so far. Even in the Southeast, the sit-at-home order is no longer as effective as it used to be. Immediately, Samuel Ekpa was arrested. They relaxed it. They didn't have the capacity to continue again. And coupled with the operation of our people in that area, we have neutralized a lot of them. We have made sure that people can now come out and engage in their lawful activities as citizens of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. And in all the places where we are operating, a lot of terrorists were arrested. Some of them have been charged by courts. But you know, sometimes the court process can be a bit slow. That is why you don't hear much about convictions. But we have arrested a lot of them, and a lot of them also, over 120,000+, have surrendered.
Mm-hmm. The military at work.
Right.
Yeah, and Mimi, you know, the issue of separatists and terrorists and the labeling of the government entities is something that is always very sensitive.
Right.
And it's confusing at some point as well.
Just to say, Georgia, to get a military leader, a military general to speak to the media, it's not easy.
It's not easy. But of course, under the Baobab, we give the platform to these important people to come and clarify the issues. But back to the conversation, Mimi. I'm sure you've been reporting widely, far and large, about separatist movements, and especially in Cameroon.
Right.
There is a lot of similarities we can draw from Cameroon and Nigeria. Nigeria has the separatist, you know, agitation, and as well as a Boko Haram threat.
Yes.
It's the same as in Cameroon.
Yes,
so
in Cameroon.
So how is the government dealing with the two?
Well, I should say that separatist leaders in Cameroon have from time to time also collaborated with the pro-Biafra separatists as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we need to know. But when it comes to handling the case, like the cases in Nigeria and Cameroon, like you asked, I should say that there are some similarities and dissimilarities.
Mm-hmm.
I will start first of all with the difference between how the Nigerian government is handling the situation in Nigeria and how the Cameroonian government is handling the one in Cameroon. The difference is that the government has tried to hold talks with the separatist leaders.
That is in Cameroon.
Mm-hmm. In quote, separatist leaders, because there have been national dialogue, but this didn't take us anywhere because the conflict really didn't end. Because separatist leaders themselves, those who are clamoring for an independent, a breakaway state called Ambazonia, they were not part of the discussion. So it was described as a sham.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing ended.
Yes.
There's still violence in the Anglophone regions.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also want to say that there's no difference with the way the government in Nigeria and that of Cameroon is handling the separatist conflict, in the sense that there's military deployment as well in the Anglophone regions. Civilians have been targeted also by the military. We've had a lot of rights violations going on.
Mm-hmm.
I can go on and on, but certainly this is something that we can get to discuss another time.
Yeah, but definitely the naming and the branding of the two entities as, you know, terrorists.
Mm.
Boko Haram, we know how they maneuver. And equally, we understand that there are some secessionist separatist agitators who have valid reasons why they are fronting that agenda.
You've described that properly, because when it comes to Boko Haram, we are talking about an ideological war. But when it comes to the separatist conflict, it's as a result of accumulated grievances. Some of them would say that they are being discriminated upon, that they feel like they are the minority, and they always decry like injustice. They want justice. They want to feel like they belong. They feel like they can govern themselves. They don't feel like they can be governed by the central government.
Mm.
So they always want to secede. So the conflicts are kind of different in terms of what the people want.
Yeah, so I'm pretty interested to know, what did the general tell you about this?
The general, I wanted him to clarify, to be able to demarcate what the blurry lines between separatists and terrorists of Boko Haram.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he told us.
If you kill human beings, what does that mean? Boko Haram kill people. The IPOB kill people. The bandits, so-called bandits, also kill people. So as far as we are concerned, they are all terrorist organizations.
Do you think Nigerians see them as terrorists?
The federal government said so. They have declared as terrorist groups by law.
The government has qualified them as terrorists. What about Nigerians? Do you think Nigerians see them as terrorists?
The federal government represents Nigerians.
Let's talk about look at the modus operandi of Boko Haram. They bomb churches, they kidnapped school children, and they kill thousands. Separatists demand independence, sometimes violently, like you've described, but not on the same scale like Boko Haram. Isn't calling both terrorists blurring the line?
Boko Haram, they are not only bombing churches. They bomb everybody. A terrorist organization is a terrorist organization. So no more, no less. We continue to treat them the way they are.
But some people will argue, General, that this label makes dialogue difficult or practically impossible. Do you worry that by calling the separatist terrorists, the army is closing that door on political negotiations?
Look, the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria is very clear on agitations. If you want a state to be created out of your zone, there are ways you can go about doing it in a lawful manner, not through killing people.
So what's the lawful manner for you? What's the lawful manner for you?
They should go through what the Constitution says. Nigeria is a sovereign country. It has its rules, it has its laws, it has its constitution. Mm. And the constitution has to be abided with. You cannot create or try to impose what you felt can guarantee your own rights. No, you cannot infringe on rights of others. You have to respect the right of other people.
Usually, before we come to this discussion with our guests, we make sure that we talk to Nigerians on the streets. Some will say that one is a war for survival and the other is cry for justice. So how does the military respond to this?
Well, I don't want to go into those political issues. I'm not a politician. That should be left for politicians to handle. But what I'm saying is a criminal will be handled as a criminal. If you felt you have any demand that you need the attention of the state, there are better ways of doing that. Mm. But by the time you resort to killing people, innocent people, destroying properties, you know, infringing on the human right as guaranteed by the constitution of other people, then what else do you want? We cannot fold our arms because you are championing certain cost to create mayhem and destruction on people's lives and properties. That we cannot accept.
So, George, the general says that he's not a politician.
Doubling down that he's not a politician.
And he also claims that the military is going to do what it takes to secure Nigeria. Mm. And because of their efforts so far, Nigeria is safer than before. But the statistics are proving otherwise. When we look at how the rate of insecurity in Nigeria with kidnappings, killings, attacks, and displacements, it tells a different story.
Yeah, and I've been reading, Mimi, and they're very clear that we have over 600,000 of insecurity cases recorded, and we're talking about deaths, and over 2 million, I should say, abductions between May 2023 and April 2024, primarily due to banditry and terrorism.
And this is specifically under the tenure of President Bola Tinubu, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So, and also, that is why we have to take this conversation to our audience out there, George.
Yeah, tell you what, since we launched under the Baobab, we've built a very huge community, which I want you to be part of. And we are just here to steer the conversation. But the input of what really matters comes from this great community.
That is why we had to task our correspondent, Ben Shemang, who is in Nigeria, to go to Nigerians and talk to them directly, find out how much progress they think has been made in the fight against terrorism and the push to end the separatist conflict.
You know, and everybody knows that Nigeria has been battling with all sort of prevailing security challenges, and people are being killed on a daily basis. So there's need for the security agencies to buckle up to do their own best in securing the lives and properties of Nigerians.
Actually, there is some part of the country at this situation they are now. We are praying that our soldiers can do more and more.
People are scared. You can feel the tension, you can feel the threat, you can feel the, you go to various police stations, people are being attacked, you cannot drive at night, your eyes will be extremely open. If you are sleeping, your eyes are open. So the government needs to do more.
Although I do not subscribe to the manner in which Simon Ekpa went about his agitation, at the same time, I feel that the government should address the problem on ground.
We've seen situations where travelers are being stopped by security, supposedly security men, who at the end of the time or end of the day kidnap them. So the question is, how do these men get access to military outfit and the full kit? So that puts a question mark in my mind when it comes to the military people being able to take care of us. Because when I see one, I don't know how to identify if this is for me or against me.
Mimi, you see, this is very difficult. And it's not the responsibility of the citizen to identify all this and assure themselves security. It's the responsibility of the government and the security apparatus.
But when you listen to Nigerians, this is completely a different story that we hear, because people do not feel safe, whether in the hands of the military or those who are attacking them or kidnapping them on a daily basis. And they feel like the security apparatus that is in the country has actually failed them.
Yeah, and you know what, Mimi? The military is always perceived everywhere, worldwide, is perceived as the last resort. So if you cannot feel confident that your military is there to protect you, then there is nowhere else to run to.
And it's the case particularly in Nigeria, like we just mentioned, where some people feel that the military is there. They are everywhere. You see them even at security checkpoints, control points, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to securing yourself, you call out to these military people. Sometimes they are not available. They are not present to react to your cries of distress.
Yeah, and when we were researching on this particular topic, you know, Nigeria is a country with a very strong military, and we saw Global Firepower Military Strength Index ranking Nigeria's militaries as the third best in Africa.
Yeah.
So it defeats the logic. Why do they have these capabilities in land, air, and sea, and yet people are not very confident in the military?
That's a very, very good question. How do we explain the fact that the fight against Boko Haram remains a challenge, despite what you just mentioned, that they have the military capabilities to fight on air, in sea, and on land? But there's still Boko Haram challenge. There's still insecurity in Nigeria. So is the problem at the level of intelligence, or is it lack of finance, or is it just lack of political will? That's the question that we put to the general.
I'm telling you, the large part of those terrorists have been decimated. They lack the capacity to occupy a place like the way they do before.
But when we speak to Nigerians, like we've spoken to Nigerians before coming to have this conversation with you, they tell us that they still feel so much unsafe. They don't feel like there's enough security in Nigeria. Most of them complain that the army even arrives late or sometimes not at all when attacks happen. So why should the people trust the military to protect them?
Before we go to that, if you go to the northeast now, particularly in Borno State, which used to be the epicenter, schools have been reopened long time ago. Markets are on. Businesses are on. The roads that used to be unmotorable due to activities of terrorists are now open. People move freely. Business activity has taken up very well. So I don't know where you are getting that information from, but I'm telling you, Northeast is very stable now. You see, these terrorists and criminal organizations, they don't stay in one place. Once they operate, they flee the place immediately. So once we don't get a response, we don't get information at the appropriate time, basically, we may not be able to do much.
Okay, when the attackers come and leave, there's no need to visit the communities. Is that what you're saying?
You're saying that. What? But in how many places Have we been called and we didn't come? Very few places, maybe because we didn't get the information in time. And sometimes it's very difficult to even navigate some of the terrains. You need to understand the kind of terrains we are working on. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand, General. That's why billions.
You know? So
that's why billions.
You need a soldier on foot to go with a device to make sure that the place is not mined before.
So how are terrorists able to get there? How are terrorists able to get there? How are the attackers or the terrorists able to get to these localities?
Maybe they go on foot. They go on motorcycle because they sit down and deliberately plan for this thing. It can take them maybe days to do their planning, but now you are calling us in 5-10 minutes to respond. We have to make sure that route is also safe for our troops. Otherwise, the moment you enter an IED, all of you are gone.
So don't you have intel to know what the separatists are or the terrorists are planning? Don't you have intel to know what their plans are?
We used to have, and we have suppressed a lot of them. We have our ways of getting information and intelligence. And based on that, we have suppressed lot of attacks before they even happen. But we are calling on people to continue to give us the human intelligence that we need in addition to the ones we are using.
That was a heated one, George. Time for the rapid fire questions.
Yes, that is the moment where we step into the shed of wisdom under the baobab and get to know our guests beyond the politics. And here comes the rapid fire question segment.
So if the general was not in uniform today, what career would you have chosen?
Maybe a teacher.
And general, in your entire career, have you ever received a bribe?
Bribe? If I received a bribe, I wouldn't have been here.
Okay, fair enough. And what occupies the general when you're not in uniform?
One family.
What is easier, general, raising your children or protecting Nigeria?
They are both heavy tasks. You know, I cannot say one is more important, but now I'm protecting my country. There are certain times I had to leave them, travel for 1 year, 2 years, I don't see them. So I think protecting my country is much harder now, and I would say it's much, much more important, though family are equally important too.
Yeah, I respectfully see that you're so decorated, General. Which is your most valuable achievement in your career as an army person?
Becoming what I am now, a Brigadier General, spokesperson of the Armed Forces of Nigeria. That's my greatest accomplishment.
Yeah, and General, I know you are a political science student. Rather, you graduated in university as a political scientist. Do you have aspirations to go into politics?
The fact that I'm a political scientist does not make me a good politician. A good political scientist hardly makes a good politician.
All right. And among the books that you've authored, which is your favorite, General?
I have authored like 2 books. Most of them are on my principles. The one was on the Honorable Minister of Defense then, 2015 to 2019.
I saw you having so much fun.
Yeah, definitely. The general is decorated in all aspects, both in his military achievements and also academically. Yeah, but of course, he should always respond to the questions that we are asking him.
Yeah.
And that's why we invited him to clear the air. And Mimi, as we were speaking about Nigeria and the state of insecurity, we know we are talking about separatist agitators vis-a-vis terrorism.
Right.
And over and above that, there is an issue of, you know, human rights and trust. Mm. We know when the army wade into these groups, they go with the might and
force.
Yes. And there have been claims of, you know, human rights violation. And confidence in the Nigerian military has really dropped due to this.
And in fact, Nigeria has the lowest rankings in Africa, according to an Afrobarometer report. And one of the issues that this report cited is brutality within the military against civilians and also human rights abuses during their operations.
Yeah, so did you talk to the general about this? And
he disagrees. He says, oh, as always, he says that our hands are clean.
Okay.
That's not true. If you have any evidence, bring it forward. We have our internal mechanisms of checking our personnel.
So what about the reports from the UN Human Rights Watch reports, the international organizations reporting about atrocities sometimes committed by the Nigerian military? Are you also saying that those reports are false?
Well, they can be. Of course, they can be false, because most of them were not even on ground. They sit down somewhere out of the country and just write a report and send it through online, you know.
Mm.
But like I said earlier on, if you have any case of wrongdoing against our personnel, bring it forward. We will not hide anybody. We will not shield anybody. Bring it forward.
Yes, Mimi, so you should bring the cases forward. You've heard
Judge,
from
I've
the general.
I've heard that before somewhere. Somewhere, some by someone else.
Okay, so we will not delve into that. Bottom line is, Nigeria is still plagued by insecurity, Boko Haram, and a separatist conflict. So what is the way forward for the country to lasting peace?
Especially in the light of other West African nations depending on Nigeria. It's Africa's largest nation, depending on Nigeria's leadership in the concerted counterterrorism fight. So I asked the general what the long-term plan is and whether the vision for peace goes beyond the guns and the uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
We do not only employ kinetic as a means of operation. We have another line of operation, which is non-kinetic operations. Non-kinetic operation means engaging the community, you know, through engagement. Like, for example, in some communities, we even build hospitals, we renovated schools, we provide water, and some social infrastructure to show that, look, though we are operating, you know, in your community, but that does not mean we are there to kill people. No, we are there to protect lives and properties. And where we felt the communities are lacking on certain basic amenities, we give it to them. Lot of things has to come in. For example, deployment of technology. The armed forces alone cannot secure our borders. That is why the Chief of Defense Staff is advocating for fencing of our borders. We should start by fencing our borders, just like other countries did in the world. And based on that, they were able to address security challenges across their borders. And I think it's doable. If we can fence our borders, we will have less problems to contend with through our borders.
So you're suggesting that a wall should be built to separate Nigeria from other countries?
What we are saying is we should fence our borders.
Mm.
If it is wall, fine. If it is through container wires or any means, fine. But we want a clear fencing of our borders. So it will even reduce the pressure of deploying men by the military and the security and other security agencies.
But it will also affect the free movement of persons and goods. That's the best strategy.
Normally, movement of free goods, does it happen through illegal borders? We have our own borders. We have our own borders that are manned by security agencies like custom, immigration, and the rest. Whoever wants to do that can come through these channels.
So Nigeria spends millions on security, yet kidnappings, killings, and attacks are happening every day. The army, like we heard, says that Nigeria is safer. Nigerians are saying otherwise, like we also heard.
Yeah, definitely, Milwi. And the military also denies committing atrocities. They insist they will stop at nothing but to clamp down on the pro-Biafra separatist movement.
So does this conviction of Simon Ekpa, we've also talked about him, signal an end to the country's war against secession?
Yeah, that is a very good question. Or is it time for the military to focus more on addressing the root cause of the problem raised by the pro-Biafra separatists? Share your thoughts in the comment section.
And if you want more honest African political conversations, please don't forget to subscribe. You can find Under the Baobab on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course, here on
DW Africa,
which
YouTube
is our
channel.
YouTube channel.
Yeah, my name is George Okachi, and many thanks for being part of the conversation.
Thank you so much as well for joining us. I am Mimi Mefoneu.